from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Cheer Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, thank you. Wow. That's warm and welcoming. Thank you. This is Martin Zender. My cohort in crime, Dan Sheridan, is not here today, and I apologize for that. But don't panic, all you Dan Sheridan fans out there, because he is going to be back tomorrow. That poor guy, he's got a real job, you know, and he's got to keep up with that. Look, isn't it amazing, these parables in the ministry of our Lord. You can't emphasize it enough that these parables were not intended to explain what Jesus meant, but to mystify people, to confuse them. And that's exactly what our Lord wanted to do with the multitude. He veiled his message. He put them in figures lest the people should understand. I mean, that's one of the most radical words in this whole passage of Matthew. We're going to find that as our Lord quotes Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah prophesied concerning Israel. One of the things Dan said to me one time, it shocked me. He said that Isaiah himself had to go back and study his prophecy to figure out what it was about. These men of God, these men of old, these prophets, they did not know what they were talking about most of the time. And Isaiah prophesied concerning how Israel would be hardened of heart and blind of sight, deaf of hearing. And he himself wondered why God would do anything like that. And that's the stunning thing of the secret of the kingdom, why God would put out his message and then cause that message to be disbelieved. And yet that's exactly what he does. And our Lord himself, I think, realizes that it's gonna help to quote Isaiah here. And he does in verse 13. It's going to help his disciples understand that this was prophesied. It hadn't happened yet, but it had been prophesied by Isaiah. We're still dealing with a secret here, and the secret is that it's the kingdom itself is going to be on hold, that this disobedience and that this blindness of Israel is going to result in the kingdom being laid on the shelf. And I'm sorry, but that's what has happened to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the heavens on earth. And if anybody tells you otherwise, they are out of step with God's program. They don't understand the secret of the kingdom. But that secret's being made known to us. And our Lord quotes Isaiah in verse 14 of Matthew 13. And filled up in them is the prophecy of Isaiah that is saying, in hearing you will be hearing, and may by no means be understanding. And observing, you will be observing, and may by no means be perceiving. Isn't that a weird thing? It's like sometimes you're looking for your car keys, and you look everywhere for them, and you can't find them, and then you suddenly see that they're laying right in the middle of the counter. It's the old saying, if that had been a snake, it had bit you. If God intends you not to see it, you will not see it. They could be sitting right in front of you. And these Israelites had the Messiah walking in front of them. The priesthood had the Messiah of Israel, the one they were looking forward to all those hundreds of years, walk in front of them, and they could not recognize him. Verse 15, "For stoutened is the heart of this people, and with their ears heavily they hear, and with their eyes they squint, lest at some time they may be perceiving, lest they may be perceiving." Our Lord is saying here, unless I tell these people parables, they're going to get it. You understand that? He's saying to them, unless I speak in parables, they're going to get it. It's like, I'm afraid that if I'm too clear with these people, they're going to understand, and they're going to hear, and then they're going to perceive, and then I should be turning about and should be healing them. But I don't want that to happen. Our Lord is saying that. I don't want that to happen. Talk about the wisdom of God. You have to be plugged into the wisdom of God, because this is so counterintuitive to anything human, is it not? The kingdom's being proclaimed in the early chapters of Matthew, and now it's being shrouded in confusion. And nobody's understanding it except the disciples. And look what he says. Let me finish reading that passage, and I'll tell you what he says to the disciples here. Stoutened is the heart of this people, and with their ears heavily they hear, with their eyes they squint, lest at some time they may be perceiving with their eyes. Oh, by the way, that time will come, and we're going to be talking about that. That time will come when they will be perceiving. But in the meantime, there's this long interval of the nations. Oh, I'm anticipating Romans 11:25. You can go there ahead of time if you want. Lest at some time they may be perceiving with their eyes, and with their ears should be hearing, and with their heart may be understanding, I should be turning about, and I shall be healing them. That's exactly what he's going to do, but not in Matthew 13. It's going to be a long time before he does that. Verse 16, yet, our Lord, to the disciples, now happy are your eyes, for they are observing, and your ears, for they are hearing. For verily I am saying to you that many prophets and just men yearn to perceive what you are observing and perceive not, and to hear what you are hearing and hear not. Even Isaiah, even the prophets, yearn to perceive. They wrote it, but they did not perceive it. And yet the disciples were hearing it. And I think it even took years after our Lord had died and resurrected, and the Spirit of God came on them at Pentecost, caused them to understand all these things, and they finally saw the big picture. But even they did not see the big picture that we are seeing. You know, this Isaiah 6 passage is the most quoted passage in the Scripture. Isaiah wrote it, and our Lord repeats it here, and Paul quotes it again in Acts 28. This is one of those things where whenever you hear Isaiah 6 quoted, you know bad things are about to happen. Because whenever you hear that, the kingdom is being shut down, temporarily shut down. The 1,000-year kingdom, I keep reminding you. So at this time, our Lord quotes it very significantly. He quotes it, it's happening. The kingdom is receding into the future. Now, when Paul quotes it, the kingdom door is closed for the era. Now, Israel has another, quote, chance, unquote, after Jesus dies. We know that he proclaimed again through the 12. The Holy Spirit came on the 12, and they once again announced the kingdom in Acts chapter 2. But at that time, it was set forth, but Israel again rejected it. But there's an interval of like 40 years during the Acts period when you're not really sure what's going to happen with the kingdom. It seems to be receding. James dies by the sword. Peter is in exile in Babylon. And Paul in Acts 28:28 announces Isaiah 6 once again, the third time. And the third time is the charm. And bang, the kingdom door is locked at that point, Acts 28:28. Paul reveals the secret of the gospel. He reveals the secret of the resurrection. He reveals the secret administration to the nations only after the door to Israel is closed. So, man, if you're an Israelite and you're here in Acts 6, woo, that's bad news. It's almost like when you hear an angel saying hallelujah, duck. Yeah, whenever you hear hallelujah, that's not a good word in the Scripture. It's used of great judgment. Whenever great judgment and wrath and bloodshed is poured out on the earth, the angels say hallelujah, hallelujah, great praise be Yah. It's an awesome phrase. And like I say, if you ever hear an angel in heaven saying hallelujah, duck. It's not a little happy word that should be sung in Christian songs. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It means that the earth is being judged. You really don't want to see that. But anyway, happy are your eyes. And I say that to you here today. Your eyes and your ears should be happy today because you're being initiated into secrets that, again, they've been written for a long time. But unless you have insight into it, they've sat in your Bibles for a long time. I don't know how many times people have told me, my gosh, where has that verse been? I bring up a verse to people like 1 Timothy 4:10, God's the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. And they say, where has that verse been all my life? Well, it's been sitting in here for a couple thousand years. But unless your eyes are blessed and your ears are blessed and God opens your ears and your eyes and your heart, you're not going to get it. But when he does, you will get it. You know, I actually feel sorry for our Lord. I mean, as a man, thinking of him as a man, he has to be disappointed. I mean, I know he knows ultimately what's going on, but he suffers as a man, and he has to suffer through these people not getting what he's saying. I think it's so comforted him to give these secrets to the disciples. We think of them being blessed to hear these secrets, but I think it was an unburdening for his heart as well. Go back to Matthew 11:20. We see the beginning of this unbelief starting. You see bad things starting to happen here. He begins to reproach the cities in which most of his powerful deeds occurred, for they do not repent. And he says to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the powerful deeds which are occurring in you occurred in Tyre and Sidon, long ago they would repent, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Moreover, I am saying to you, for Tyre and Sidon shall it be more tolerable in the day of judging than for you. And you, Capernaum, not to heaven shall you be exalted, to the unseen shall you subside. For if the powerful deeds which are occurring in you had occurred in Sodom, it might remain unto this day." Interesting comment there. If the powerful deeds which are occurring in you had occurred in Sodom, but they didn't occur. It wasn't in God's purpose for them to hear. Isn't that another one of the mysteries or the secrets? Why, if Sodom had been primed for this message more than Capernaum, then maybe God mistimed everything. Why didn't Jesus come to Sodom? Could have saved things back then. But people are meant to remain in ignorance for a certain time period, and other people are meant to hear. It's all according to the wisdom of God. We have to trust God on these things. "Moreover, I'm saying to you that for the land of Sodom shall it be more tolerable in the day of judging than for you." Listen to this in verse 25. "At that season, answering, Jesus said, I am acclaiming thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for thou hidest these things from the wise and intelligent, and thou dost reveal them to minors. Yea, Father, seeing that thus it became a delight in front of thee." Now, I think Jesus is sighing as he says this. He has to almost talk himself into this. Like, he's getting all this rejection. All these cities are not repenting. And at that season, in the season of the rejection, Jesus sighing said, "I am acclaiming thee, Father. I am acclaiming thee." It takes a spiritual revelation to acclaim God in the midst of failure. That's what Jesus is looking at here, failure. And in the midst of it, he's acclaiming God that he hides these things from the wise and intelligent, which was the so-called majority. And he reveals them to minors. In other words, his ministry is appearing to fail, and yet he's rejoicing because it delights God to reveal his truth to minors. I want to read a comment on this passage from A.E. Nock in the Concordant Commentary. Listen to this. This will help those of you who are frustrated out there. Why aren't my friends getting this? Why doesn't the world understand this great truth that I've come into? Well, our Lord had the same frustration. I really do think he did, and he ended up having to acclaim his Father for this. Listen to this from the Concordant Commentary, A.E. Nock. "Though his ministry seems to be a failure, the Lord recognizes the fact that this is in accord with God's unrevealed purpose. He acquiesces in God's evident delight in hiding the truth from those who were wise and intelligent in the things of this life. He does not fret because he cannot reach them, because God's work is apparently without the anticipated results. For he has the consciousness that in the final analysis, it is God himself who is operating all for his own purpose and glory. It is not that those who rejected him were blinded by some act of their own for which God disclaims responsibility. No, it's that they do not see because God positively hides it from them." I want that to be your comfort today. You're not reaching those people that you're talking to, not because you're stupid or because you can't reach them. It's because God's plan apparently does not include that person at this time. Our Lord learned to acclaim God in the midst of his failure, and if you can do the same, you will be becoming a very spiritual person. Dan Sheridan is going to be back with me tomorrow. Thank goodness this is a lot tougher without him. I'm Martin Zender. Be with me tomorrow. And Dan Sheridan.